Chapter 2. Don John does not stop thinking about sweaters. The next time he does laundry, he takes the time to lay Wei Ying's sweater collection out on the bed for close inspection. If Uniqlo sweaters are too basic, then he needs to know what Wei Ying likes, style-wise, so he can look for something that his boyfriend will actually wear, so he can adjust operation, make sure Wei Ying is never cold ever again, accordingly. When he takes a step back to look at them all together, Lan Zhan sees his mistakes immediately, and there are several. First, Wei Ying likes chunky knits with wide yarn. The smooth, finely knitted sweaters from Uniqlo, which is what Lan Zhan prefers for himself, are completely wrong for his boyfriend, and Lan Zhan mildly curses himself for not realizing it. Second, Wei Ying likes an oversized fit. This is something Lan Zhan should have known already, given how often he finds himself distracted by the drape of a wide neckline half off a shoulder, leaving all of Wei Ying's beautiful, biteable throat on display. Third, Wei Ying likes mixed colors and textures. There's the heathered purple-black sweater, and a plain black one with artfully unraveled sections that he likes to layer over jewel-toned long-sleeved undershirts. There's one in a slow-changing ombre from a deep blue at the collar down to nearly a black at the hem. Lan Zhan actually tries that one on, out of curiosity. It's interesting, and it does something to him to wear Wei Ying's clothes, but he feels uncomfortable and out of place in such a dark color, and the oversized drape of it makes him feel shapeless and strange. He mentally praises himself for trying things, the way his therapist Lan Yi encourages him to do, and puts the sweater back on the bed with something like relief. Lan Zhan rubs his hands over a burgundy sweater with an interesting rib texture, and notes that this one, like all the others, shows significant wear at the cuffs. Lan Zhan thinks about that, and has a flash of Wei Ying's lovely, elegant artist's hands, constantly fiddling with the cuffs on all his shirts, tugging them down absently to cover his knuckles. Ah, of course. As long as he has them all out, Lan Zhan checks the tags and discovers, to no surprise at all, that they're all cotton or rayon blended with polyester and acrylic. The dark blue ombre was fully acrylic, which also immediately explains why he didn't like wearing it. Lan Zhan takes a moment to very carefully shove down his initial repulsed reaction. Synthetic fibers are cheap and easy to launder. It is classist to look down on others for wearing them, or to rue their general existence, other than, perhaps, from an environmental point of view. Other people's bodies don't react to synthetics the way his does, by going immediately damp and claustrophobic and itchy. Everyone is allowed a preference. Lan Zhan has had a few text conversations with his brother, as he and Lan Yi have started digging into the early signs of his autism. According to Lan Huan, young Lan Zhan would simply refuse to get dressed if provided clothing that didn't meet his unspoken standards. This, to Lan Zhan, sounds about right. "Eventually we just started taking you shopping," Lan Huan told him cheerfully. "You had to touch everything before you bought it, but as long as you got to choose it, you were fine wearing it." Lan Zhan still finds it bewildering that anyone can shop for clothing any other way. Sensory processing disorders. Apparently not everyone has them? Seems fake. Lan Zhan remembers, as he puts the sweaters away, that there are other perfectly good reasons for avoiding certain fabrics. He's pretty sure he can rule out veganism as an issue, and he doesn't think the other main issue would apply, since his boyfriend sometimes steals his battered merino house cardigan. But... Wei Ying, he asks that evening after dinner, as they're curled together on the couch with a rabbit on each lap. Do you have any allergies? I swell up from mosquito bites super bad, Wei Ying says immediately, stroking Bi Chen's soft white ears. Like, more than most people, which is fun. And I'm allergic to nickel, which I learned at 17 when I switched my first studs out for fun earrings and gave myself cellulitis in my ear. He waves at the stainless steel hoops that are a semi-permanent fixture of his lobes. It's why I don't go much in for jewelry outside of shoots, unless I can wear it over something. Lan Zhan says, immediately scheming about non-costume, nickel-free jewelry. He puts a mental pin in that idea as one to investigate further later, and, for the sake of being thorough, clarifies, not wool or animal fibers? Nope, Wei Ying says cheerfully, scooping up Bi Chen so he can rub his face on her in demonstration. Bi Chen tolerates this admirably. She's come so far from the shy, nervous little thing she was when they first brought her home. But Lan Zhan also knows that if he tried to treat her like Wei Ying does, she would scratch him enthusiastically, and he would deserve it. Sui Bian is his rabbit, as far as these things go. Bi Chen's heart belongs to Wei Ying. Lan Zhan cannot fault her for this. Well, it's just expensive and hard to wash and boring, or all three. He settles Bi Chen back on his lap and pets her gently in an apology for the indignity of his actions, lolling his head onto Lan Zhan's shoulder and giving him a suspicious look. Are you still on about sweaters? Perhaps, Lan Zhan allows. He's not just thinking about sweaters. He's also thinking about socks and hats and scarves. Probably gloves. It's very sweet, Wei Ying says. He reaches across and brings Lan Zhan's hand to his mouth so he can kiss across his knuckles, slow and warm. Hey, he starts, trying to sound light and not quite getting there. I'm not going to tell you not to buy me anything, because I fucking know you, babe, but please don't buy me anything super expensive that can't be returned. He squeezes Lan Zhan's hand and smiles, a little cracked around the edges. I have stuff about being, you know, how to react when people with money give me things that maybe I don't like and didn't really ask for, and how could I be so fucking ungrateful when we took you in off the street and spent our money on you and fed you food off our own table, Wei Ying? None of the other families that took you in ever did this for you. Would you rather be back with them? He inhales, slow, the sound ragged, like it's catching on his ribs on the way in. Wei Ying, Lan Zhan says, horrified. He grabs Wei Ying's hand between both of his, holds it tightly, trying to say with a touch what he would say aloud if words weren't still such a struggle for him. I would never, he manages. Wei Ying, I will always, always choose you. I know, sweetie, Wei Ying says, blinking, his smile a little less of a lie now. I know that up here. He taps his temple. It's just... He pats his chest, an illustration, face twisting up ruefully. Mostly I'm good. I really am, I swear. Shit just comes up at the weirdest fucking times, you know? Lan Zhan says, in full agreement. Earlier that week, it took him 5 minutes of slow breathing to put in a pair of earrings that he had already worn to work. Multiple times. Careful not to disturb the rabbits, he leans over to kiss Wei Ying lightly.
"Would it make you more comfortable if I didn't buy you things?"
he asks, because he is a good partner who will respect his boyfriend's boundaries, even if every part of his being says that he should buy Wei Ying everything he ever wants, and some things he doesn't know he wants yet. Wei Ying's face goes flustered, the same way it does when Lan Zhan praises him.
He says, trying to avoid eye contact.
"No, I..." He shoves his face into the crook of Lan Zhan's neck, inhales hard, and says, all in one breath, "I really fucking like it when you spoil me. It makes me feel valued and loved and so horny. God, this is embarrassing. It's like I'm your old-timey mistress or something, and you like having me around so much, you're willing to put a whole fucking line in your budget for it. I don't know. I'm kind of fucked up about money, but you don't have to stop. I really don't want you to stop. I'm gonna have weird feelings about it sometimes, and we should probably discuss the price where it sets off my brain shit, okay?"
Lan Zhan waits a moment to see if Wei Ying is done talking, then kisses the top of his head.
"Okay," he says. "I understand."
A beat.
"You are still tense. Was there something else?" The answer comes in the form of an embarrassed, high-pitched noise, like the whistle of a tea kettle, and Wei Ying going limp against him.
"That was it," he says, a little weakly.
"Thank you. Thank you."
"Of course," Lan Zhan says. He drops Wei Ying's hand so he can hug him instead, arms a warm, steady circle around his boyfriend's back. Sui Bian shifts on his lap in momentary disgruntlement, but she gets over it.
"Would you prefer it if I checked in with you before I bought things?" Wei Ying makes a thinking sound and drums his fingers on Lan Zhan's hip.
"If it's outerwear or, like, a statement piece, and it costs a bunch, then yes. If it's inexpensive and, like, an undershirt or something, then no. If you're replacing something I have that's worn out with a new version of the same thing, I think that'd be fine, but I can't promise I won't keep wearing the shitty one, too."
He pauses, mouthing lightly at Lan Zhan's neck, just to be playful, and adds, "Slutty bedroom outfits are always a go." Lan Zhan takes careful mental notes of all this.
"What is the upper threshold for spoiling you?" he asks.
"Numbers-wise?" Wei Ying groans into his skin. "Please don't spend more than $100 on a single item of clothing for me," he says, reluctantly.
"And I'm talking a real fucking item of clothing, Lan Zhan. If you buy me a $100 hat, I will probably have a panic attack."
"I will not do that," Lan Zhan says immediately, smoothing his hand over Wei Ying's back. "The down jacket wasn't too much?"
"No!"
Wei Ying sits up far enough that they can see each other's faces again, one hand on Lan Zhan's hip, the other on his sternum.
"I love that thing, Lan Zhan. It's perfect. And, like, rationally I know it's a super great value for the money, right? I just..."
And he makes a face again.
"I know," Lan Zhan says, and kisses him. That distracts them both for a little while, even if it can't go much of anywhere, because they have two pleased rabbits on their laps, and they're not going to dislodge them, because they're not monsters. When they pull away, it takes Lan Zhan a moment to remember his train of thought.
"But it would be all right if I bought you some warmer socks?"
"As long as they don't cost $100. If you buy me $100 socks, I will break up with you. Wei Ying says, then immediately kisses Lan Zhan to reassure him that it's a joke. Lan Zhan appreciates this immensely, then pulls back and makes a face. God, some fucker out there is making $100 socks, aren't they? They must be. There's someone making, like, gold-infused socks and selling them for $100 to rich assholes and saying they detoxify your blood by pulling free radicals out of your feet or some bullshit. Probably, Lan Zhan agrees, against Wei Ying's cheek. I'm gonna find some $100 socks and put them on my wish list, Wei Ying decides, settling back against the couch and leaning his head on Lan Zhan's shoulder.
Why do strangers on the internet get to buy you $100 socks while I do not?
Lan Zhan asks, leaning his cheek against the crown of Wei Ying's head. That's a great question, Wei Ying says cheerfully. And I have no fucking idea why it's different, but it just is.
That is fair, Lan Zhan says.
Slutty bedroom outfits rolls around in his brain in Wei Ying's voice, which reminds him of a question he'd had earlier, before he got distracted by Wei Ying's beautiful, lush mouth.
What if I wanted Ni Huaisang to make you something?
Lan Zhan is thinking, specifically, of a lace harness, but there are many other potential options there. Oh, that's totally fine. Wei Ying says it with genuine ease, no trace of hesitation or concern. Spoil me however you want when it comes to Huaisang's catalog. You don't even have to check in with me about that. They have my number when it comes to aesthetics, so I know I'll like whatever they make. Lan Zhan nods to himself. This is excellent to know, but he can't help asking,
why doesn't the price point matter with Ni Huaisang?
Because it's not about me, Wei Ying says immediately. It's about you supporting a friend who has a small business and does great work and should be paid for it. Lan Zhan nods again, and then frowns.
I do not see how that tracks, he admits, since the end result is still me buying you something expensive.
Honestly, neither do I, Wei Ying says, with a shrug and a little, what can you do, hand gesture. I'm not saying my brain makes sense, Gaga, but that's how it is. It's like, he squints into the distance and chews his lower lip. You know how in college you'd rather starve than ask a waiter for a custom order you could actually eat, but the second they forgot my beer, you'd be flagging them down? Lan Zhan does remember. Even he hadn't understood where the courage came from at the time. It's like that, I think. Like a brain hack. Wei Ying shrugs and wiggles a little deeper into Lan Zhan's arm, tucking his shoulder under Lan Zhan's armpit.
Best explanation I can come up with, anyway.
Lan Zhan says again, giving his brain a moment to shelve all this new information in the appropriate places.
I think I understand.
He kisses the top of Wei Ying's head, locates the remote, and removes it from underneath Sui Bian.
Repair shop?
Hell yeah, Wei Ying agrees. Show me our husband.
Are we married to Will now?
Lan Zhan asks, amused. In our dreams, Wei Ying says fervently. Lan Zhan smiles and pulls him a little closer. Lan Zhan decides to start small. He buys Wei Ying some socks. He almost goes with smart wool, but after reading several reviews and looking into it a bit more, he decides on the Kirkland brand wool socks from Costco. Apparently they're just as good and a significantly lower price, which he thinks Wei Ying will appreciate. They also come in a variety of patterns, black and blue and purple, which he also thinks Wei Ying will appreciate.
They're machine washable,
he says when he presents them, feeling absurdly as though he has to make a sales pitch.
From the reviews, they're very durable, so you can treat them like the rest of your clothes, and...
Wei Ying kisses him silent, which is such a reversal of their usual roles that Lan Zhan feels staggered, blown away, and a little dazed. Is this how it is for Wei Ying, when Lan Zhan cuts off his mouth with Lan Zhan's own? No wonder he always comes up soft and fuzzy around the eyes afterward. When Wei Ying pulls away, Lan Zhan chases him a little absently, floaty and halfway to what he now understands is called subspace. Thank you, Wei Ying says, taking the socks with a solemn reverence, as though it's some kind of religious ritual. He kisses Lan Zhan's nose and then smirks at him, impish.
Do you need me to take notes and report back my findings when I wear them? That would be appreciated,
Lan Zhan says, ignoring the teasing lilt to Wei Ying's voice. Wei Ying laughs, which was what Lan Zhan was going for, and when he heads to the bedroom to put the socks away, Lan Zhan follows him in on silent feet and then shoves him onto the bed. Apparently, his silent feet were very effective, because Wei Ying actually squeals in surprise and twists as he falls, so he can throw the package of socks directly into Lan Zhan's face with startling accuracy.
Ay, ay, ay,
Wei Ying says, chest heaving.
Warn a guy, would you?
No, Lan Zhan replies calmly, and he rolls Wei Ying over onto his stomach, lays fully down on top of him, and bites the back of his neck like his boyfriend is a misbehaving kitten. Wei Ying's whole body ripples with a shudder, uncontained and uncontrollable. Lan Zhan smiles to himself and puts a little more pressure into the bite, until Wei Ying moans out loud.
Would you like me to fuck you?
He asks in Wei Ying's ear, low and rough.
Hecking fuck, Wei Ying says, dazed. Yes, holy crap, buy me all the socks you want if this is how you're gonna react, Dianxia.
Lan Zhan says, licking the line of his jugular.
I will keep that in mind.
He keeps Wei Ying where he is, pinned down except for a brief interlude to get the towel, and only bothers getting his pants and underwear down the minimum amount needed for access. Lan Zhan lays across Wei Ying's back with his full weight as he fingers him open with a gloved hand, relishing every gasp and moan and broken, begging monologue. He waits until Wei Ying is twitching bodily, trying desperately and futilely to rock back against him, and then slicks up his cock and slides home. Wei Ying comes against the towel after approximately 30 seconds of getting dick down, and then again after Lan Zhan patiently, implacably, inexorably fucks him through the oversensitivity, through the crying, into another orgasm. It's loud and messy, and basically fully clothed, pants shoved down around their thighs. Wei Ying gets one arm up behind him to curl around Lan Zhan's neck, keeping his head pressed into Wei Ying's shoulder. When Lan Zhan finally comes, he bites down so hard Wei Ying gets teeth marks on his skin, even through his shirt.
God,
Wei Ying says, weakly, into the sheets, as Lan Zhan softens inside him.
Wow. Golly. I don't even have swears now. You banged them out of me. All I got left is oh dang, oh beans, gosh.
He turns his head to the side so he can eye Lan Zhan, barely, through tear-wet lashes and hazy pupils.
What was that for?
Do I need a reason? Lan Zhan asks, and it's very nearly a genuine question.
Nope, Wei Ying says immediately. Absolutely not.
Don't know what I was thinking.
Lan Zhan says, satisfied, and sets his head back down on Wei Ying's shoulder blade.
2 days later, Lan Zhan gets a text at work. From black heart emoji, red heart emoji, Wei Ying, red heart emoji, black heart emoji. Hey babe, this is not a sex thing. Or I mean, it can be if you want. I know that if you work hard and believe in yourself, you can make anything a sex thing. You're very skilled that way. And I admire and appreciate it very much.
The more you add qualifications, the more you make it sound like a sex thing, my love.
Yeah, I realized that myself, and then I was like, eh, might as well keep digging. Anyway, please buy me more of those fancy socks. I went for a walk on my lunch break to see that cat in the bookstore. You know the one.
Lan Zhan does. Peanut butter sandwich is black and fluffy and weighs 20 pounds at least. He and Wei Ying both adore her and shop at that bookstore much more frequently than they normally would.
And babe, you will not believe it. Actually, you might because you were smarter about this than I was. But my feet were warm the whole time.
I am glad to hear it.
I thought I was genetically incapable of ever having warm feet. I accepted this curse. Was pretty chill about it, actually.
Insert non-existent finger guns emoji.
The lack of a finger guns emoji is biphobic against me in particular, BDW. Anyway, my feet! Could socks were the answer?
Rude of them, TBH.
Now I gotta look back on a lifetime of cold feet and feel like a real dingus.
The best time to buy warm socks was 10 years ago. The second best time is now.
Lan Zhan! You massive fucking dork. I love you. And also these socks. Please buy me enough that I can go 2 weeks without doing laundry and still have socks. Please, please, please.
That will not set off your brain shit.
Nah, DY for asking. You can add it to the bill split spreadsheet if you wanna. But I was just gonna insist on paying the next time we get takeout and figure it evened out. And I know you already have the link to where you got 'em. So I figured it'd save time. And you like spoiling me. Dot dot dot. Dot 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 dot. Dot 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 dot. Fuck, maybe this was a sex thing.
It took you quite some time to realize that.
Lan Zhan!
Cry laughing emoji times 5.
Why must you drag me like this?
Because you like it. 2 more packages of the socks, or 3?
How dare you know me? 3, please. Kissing emoji.
That night, Wei Ying insists that Lan Zhan feel his feet, as proof of the efficacy of the socks, which turns into a foot rub. Wei Ying stands most of the day, and Lan Zhan is sympathetic, which turns into a horny foot rub when Wei Ying starts moaning too much to ignore, which turns into furiously making out on the couch, which turns into Lan Zhan carrying Wei Ying into the bedroom and riding his dick until they both come. Lan Zhan truly had not considered socks as a potential sex thing before, but he's certainly not complaining. Also, Wei Ying's feet had indeed been warmer. Victory on all accounts, really. Lanjian still has not stopped thinking about sweaters. It might be overkill, since Wei Ying now wears the down jacket as a liner in his leather jacket whenever he leaves the house, and the wool socks have turned out to be such a success, and he actually puts thermal leggings on under his impractical, sexy jeans. The leggings are always in a contrasting but coordinating color. It's actually a very good look, and manages to make Lanjian consider wearing a distressed garment for approximately 15 seconds, but no. Still, though, he sees Wei Ying shiver in a particularly biting gust of wind, red and black hair fluttering in the frosty air, and thinks, I can fix that. Or he could, if Wei Ying was less picky. Lanjian starts with Pendleton and strikes out almost immediately. Nearly every sweater available is either boring, by what he understands Wei Ying's tastes to be, or expensive enough to potentially trigger a panic attack. While Lanjian knows he could simply obfuscate the price, he doesn't want to. He's had enough of lying in the decade before he and Wei Ying got together, and doesn't care to engage in it again. He does send a screenshot of a red pullover with white stripes to Wei Ying, because it is on significant sale, and gets a text in response that reads, Love you, babe, but I am not Ernie. Lanjian considers, momentarily, pointing out that Ernie's sweater has several other colors in it, but concedes the point. The women's section at Land's End gets him closer. There's a textured tunic sweater in a deep blue that Lanjian investigates with excitement, only to discover it's only 3% wool. Technically, that counts as a wool blend, he supposes, but it feels disingenuous. He does buy it in cream for himself. It's mostly cotton, so it will be a good fall/early spring sweater, and he runs warm anyway. The men's section at Land's End doesn't even bear mentioning. Lanjian finds himself intensely grateful to the past him for working so hard to break the shackles of his daily clothing choices. It's a very strange feeling, the gratitude and pride usually associates with Wei Ying being instead directed inwardly. Strange enough that he spends a few minutes just sitting with it. He can't imagine going back to shopping and dressing solely from the men's section of clothing retailers. Can't imagine confining himself to the plain, practical box that he lived in for most of his life. Alone, on the couch, with a laptop and a rabbit beside him, Lanjian presses one hand to his heart and shuts his eyes. Thank you, he tells himself silently. It was hard, but it was good. Thank you. It should feel silly, he thinks, going back to his online shopping. It does feel a little bit silly, which is no explanation for why he has to blink away tears before he can focus on the next sweater. He talks about it with Lan Yi at his next therapy appointment. She asks him if he's ever encouraged himself before, instead of tearing himself down, and Lanjian cries for 5 minutes with that horrible realization before he can answer. It's a productive session. Back to the issue of sweaters, Nordstrom seems promising. He does immediately run into the same issue of wool blends in name only, which sadly knocks an interesting, asymmetrical color-blocked pullover in shades of gray out of the running. There are enough potential options that he assembles a slideshow on his laptop, so he can get Wei Ying's thoughts without showing him the prices. Wei Ying gamely curls into his side with a kind of smile that says he thinks Lanjian is being a little over the top about the whole thing, but he also doesn't hold back his real opinions. Nope, he says about a chunky black turtleneck.
Can't do turtlenecks.
They make me think someone's very weakly trying to strangle me to death all day, and I don't have the energy to handle attempted murder for 8 hours.
That's a thing for other people? Lan Zhan asks, startled. I assumed it was my sensory processing disorder.
It's totally a thing, Wei Ying confirms.
Or, I mean, at least I don't have a sensory processing disorder, and I can't stand turtlenecks, so that's a sample size of one.
He grins, wryly.
It'd be easier for me if I could, he teases, gesturing at the latest crop of hickeys around his collarbones. I wouldn't have to cover these fuckers up with concealer for work.
Hmm, Lan Zhan says, progressing to the next image.
I can try to only leave them on your thighs if you would prefer.
Don't you fucking dare, Wei Ying replies immediately. If you don't Dracula up this neck on at least a weekly basis, I'm going on strike. Do you know how many tips I get on OnlyFans when I put up fresh pictures of these?
He focuses on the laptop screen and adds, before Lan Zhan can begin to respond.
Wow, I think we've actually managed to find a level of oversized that's too much even for me.
The blue sweater has an open texture and visible seams, clearly going for an artfully deconstructed look.
Lan Zhan would rather gnaw off his arm than wear it, but he thinks Wei Ying could pull it off if he wanted, which he doesn't, so it's irrelevant.
The other four sweaters also strike out, for a variety of reasons.
They only did the pattern on the front? My ass is the best part of me, Lan Zhan. It deserves to have the pattern, too.
And when Lan Zhan closes his laptop, Wei Ying crawls onto his lap to hug him properly.
Hey, he says, softly, their foreheads pressed together, close enough that his breath whispers against Lan Zhan's lips. I'm sorry I don't like any of these. I'm not being picky just to be a brat or because I'm trying to keep you from getting me something. I just want to be sure that if you do get me something, it's something I'll wear.
I know, Lan Zhan says, getting his hands underneath Wei Ying's burgundy sweater, and then under his t-shirt for good measure, letting his fingers splay out across his low back. I don't mind. I would rather you tell me honestly what you like.
He kisses Wei Ying once, gently.
I never want you to feel obligated to show false gratitude for something you didn't ask for. Wei Ying blinks at him a few times, like he's doing complicated math in his head.
Wow, he says, a little unevenly. Literally no one has said that to me in those words before.
Fuck, you just laid it out. Shit, beans. I'm gonna have to talk about that with my therapist.
He surges forward. This kiss isn't gentle. It's frantic, fervent, and needy.
You're so fucking good, baby. When did you get so smart?
Sometime after I stopped lying about looking at your porn, Lan Zhan says honestly.
Certainly not before.
He kisses away Wei Ying's laugh and adds,
Stir-fry for dinner tonight, or curry?
Curry, Wei Ying says. It's cold out. I want something with a sauce.
Perfect, Lan Zhan says, and carries Wei Ying into the kitchen to set him in his favorite spot on the counter.
So the sweater shopping could be going a lot better, really. Not that Lan Zhan is judging his boyfriend's opinions. Lan Zhan also has very particular tastes. Lan Zhan wears 3 colors, and just the idea of yellow-toned gold jewelry makes him wince internally. It would be intensely hypocritical of Lan Zhan to take issue with anyone else's personal fashion choices, when his are rigid and unbending. It just means it's going to take a lot more work than he initially thought, to tick off this particular box of operation. Make sure Wei Ying is never cold ever again. That's fine. Lan Zhan waited 10 years to have Wei Ying in his life like this. Lan Zhan is, if nothing else, extremely patient. He's still thinking about it on Sunday morning, where they're at the Unclean Realm at a startling for Wei Ying on a weekend, 9 a.m. Nie Mingjue has been developing a weekend brunch menu, and they're at the soft open, which means the restaurant is perhaps one-third full and much less raucous than other brunches Lan Zhan has been pressured into attending in the past. It's nice, actually. For all that the Unclean Realm has a lot of modern concrete and clean gray lines, it was carefully designed acoustically, with built-in sound baffling that keeps it from being a horrible echo chamber. Lan Zhan thinks he could actually manage to come here for dinner sometime, as long as it was on the earlier side and avoided the later rush. He should bring it up with Wei Ying, who still has most of a year of free food left after his photography work for Ni Mingjue's website. Also, the walls are covered with Wei Ying's landscape photography, with little placards next to the pictures, explaining the details and artistic vision behind each piece. And he imagines seeing people admiring the photos and being able to walk up to them and say, "My boyfriend took that." He wouldn't, of course. The idea of speaking to a stranger uninvited makes him want to crawl into a hole. But the Lan Zhan in this fantasy is confident, so it's fun to think about. At any rate, brunch has been lovely so far. He's at a table with Wei Ying, Nie Huaisong, and Lan Huan. Occasionally, Nie Mingjue makes the rounds to check on everyone, so Lan Zhan has been able to give some quiet compliments about the food and the ambiance. It really is good. He's enjoying his smoked salmon and asparagus quiche immensely. Lan Huan and Wei Ying are having an animated conversation about Lan Huan's youth orchestra, music, and instruments, which leaves Ni Huaisong as Lan Zhan's conversational partner. At one point, this would have been nerve-wracking, but now Lan Zhan has a greater grasp of small talk and a greater understanding of the interests he has in common with Ni Huaisong, which is to say, Lan Zhan asks them about their current commissions and listens avidly to everything they have to say in response. "That is a lovely shawl," he says. Ni Huaisong takes a sip of their mimosa. It's chunky, the yarn obviously hand-dyed in something that's almost, but not quite, stripes. It's in blues and purples and the occasional neon green, which is not something Lan Zhan would like for himself, but looks excellent with Nie Huaisong's neon green oversized boucle cardigan and purple terry jumpsuit. "Thank you," Nie Huaisong says, preening. "I made it myself. Do you want to feel?" They unwrap part of it and hold the end out, clearly wanting to brag. Lan Zhan says, and runs the proffered fabric through his fingers. It's incredibly soft, a little bit of a sheen to the yarn. Lan Zhan narrows his eyes at it, and thinks about the hand knits he occasionally shops for from indie sellers. "Wool," he says eventually. "But not merino. One of the rarer breeds." "Very good," Ni Huaisong says, so approvingly that Lan Zhan has to fight the urge to duck his head and flush. "It's Blue-Faced Lester." "Ah." Lan Zhan recognizes the name, but not well enough that he'd have been able to remember it himself. He runs his thumb over the shawl again, enjoying the sleek drag of the yarn. "You knit?" he asks, unnecessarily, but fairly certain it will result in Ni Huaisong gushing about fibers for several minutes, with minimal input needed from Lan Zhan. The ideal conversation, really.
Oh, yeah, Ni Huaisong says, lighting up. I have since high school. I started because I have ADHD. I don't know if Wei Ying ever told you.
Lan Zhan shakes his head, and Ni Huaisong continues. Well, I do, and my high school actually had a guidance counselor who was, you know, good, and she suggested I learn a quiet hobby to do with my hands in class and see if it helped me pay attention. They smile and rewrap their shawl into artful folds, arranging it just so. She backed me up against any of the hard-ass teachers who had an issue with that, and it saved my grades. I honestly don't know if I would have graduated without that. Lan Zhan says, digesting that. He takes a bite of his quiche and adds, It was... stimming? Ni Huaisong nods over their mimosa with a question in their eyebrows, and he adds, I have recently received an autism diagnosis, only a little bit nervously. I tend to... And he gets out his phone and runs his thumb over the case to demonstrate.
Ah,
Ni Huaisong says, and holds out a hand vertically. High five for diagnoses. Lan Zhan high-fives them, silently. And it's not as weird as touch sometimes is for him, which is nice. Ni Huaisong has had their hands all over him previously, to take measurements and do fittings. So they're not a stranger. They eat in companionable quiet for a few bites, both listening to Wei Ying have loud opinions about woodwind instruments at Lan Huan. Lan Zhan's eyes drift back to Ni Huaisong's shawl, and he thinks about Wei Ying's openness to custom work from them. Do you do knitting commissions? He asks, the seed of an idea unfurling in his mind.
Hell fucking no,
Ni Huaisong says, but in a tone that's friendly enough to soften the immediate rejection. Lan Zhan nods, abashed, and Ni Huaisong touches his upper arm lightly, in reassurance. I'm not mad, they say. It's a totally fair question. I just need to keep something creative for myself, and the pricing would be ridiculous. They wave a hand at their shawl. This took me maybe 15 hours? It'd have to cost $500, at least, and I'm so deeply uninterested in dealing with that.
I understand, Lan Zhan says, and does. He's had his suspicions that the hand-knit shawls he's purchased were undervalued, and this confirms it.
I do work with knits, Ni Huaisong adds. We could probably find a fabric close enough to a sweater knit that I could sew into something for you.
It's not for me, Lan Zhan clarifies.
He glances at the other side of the table, where his brother and boyfriend are now deep in conversation about the appropriateness of a recorder as a child's first instrument, and adds, Lo, I have been trying to purchase wool sweaters for Wei Ying. So he doesn't freeze every winter. Ni Huaisong says, nodding sagely, mimosa in one hand like a royal scepter. Smart.
Thank you, Lan Zhan says,
glad to have the validation from one of Wei Ying's oldest friends that this is a good plan. He has particular tastes and is open to your work.
I thought perhaps I would be able to pay you to make something for him that he would like.
Ni Huaisong nods, tapping their fork against their lower lip thoughtfully. Sorry to disappoint, they say. Lan Zhan is about to reassure them that it's fine, really, when they scoop up a forkful of their brisket omelette and add, offhand, I could teach you to knit if you want. Lan Zhan freezes, fork hovering above his quiche.
Oh,
that would do nicely.
He thinks about making something to exactly Wei Ying's specifications. Something warm. Something motivated by his love that comes from his own two hands. And he suddenly wants to knit more fiercely than he's wanted anything in his entire life, other than Wei Ying.
Yes,
he says, possibly too intensely, but unable to tone it down.
Yes, I would be happy to pay you for knitting lessons.
Ni Huaisong laughs gently, batting at his arm.
You don't have to pay me, Lanzhan, they say,
as if the idea is absurd.
We're friends.
It's ridiculous, the Wei one word can swell inside Lanzhan's chest to press against his ribs and choke him. It's ridiculous, also, how wonderful that swell feels, even as he has to work to swallow past the fresh knot in his throat. Friends, said so easily, like it's nothing. Like it's obvious.
Thank you, he says, in a mostly even voice, after too long a pause. I will text you to arrange a time.
Sounds good, Ni Huaisong says, and then their face goes worried, and they lean in, eyes intense.
Do not, for the love of anything good, plan to make him anything for Christmas.
If you're celebrating that, which I don't know if you are, it's fine either way, I don't judge. They have the hunted, haunted look of someone who has seen too much.
There's like 2.5 weeks left. That's not enough time.
Don't do that to yourself, Lanzhan.
Lanzhan nods solemnly.
I have already selected Wei Ying's gifts, he says, after a quick glance to make sure his boyfriend is still enthusiastically discussing xylophones. Wei Ying insisted on culturally appropriating Christmas, so we will celebrate, but it seems premature to assume I would be able to learn a new skill and produce a garment in that time frame.
Ni Huaisong sighs in relief.
I am so glad you understand that, they say, fervently. People make such bad choices sometimes, Lanzhan.
Lanzhan says, who has definitely made some extremely bad choices, but they at least didn't involve frantic, deadline-based crafting.
Thank you, he says again. I appreciate this.
Me too, Ni Huaisong says, smiling as though the prospect of spending time with Lanzhan in a social setting is actually desirable. They raise their glass to clink it against his.
This will be fun, they add. I'm looking forward to it.
Lanzhan's ribs swell, again, for no real reason that makes sense, but he manages a nod.
I as well, he says, and takes another bite of his quiche.